The Derek Hunter Show on WBAL and WBAL.com.
Welcome back to Hour 2 and Diet Coke number 2 of the Derek Hunter Show. I am Derek Hunter. It's amazing I got this job. It's a convenient thing because I'd feel sorry for anybody named anything else. Try and host the show and explain it to their friends. The number to be a part of it, 410-467-WBAL or toll-free long distance, 1-800-767-WBAL. We're very excited. We're trying to open you guys up, let you get a chance to get to know your candidates for various offices. And along that line, we had Andrew Langer in. We're going to have Bongino in next week. Joining me right now is Delegate Jeannie Hadaway. She is running for Lieutenant Governor along with Harford County Executive David Craig, who is running for Governor. Welcome, Delegate Hadaway.
Thank you.
So let's first get to know you a little bit. How do you end up here? How do you get involved in politics?
So I started at a very young age with an interest in politics. And, you know, I was born and raised in Maryland, so I care a lot about the state. And I just got the civic bug. And I've been in the House of Delegates for the last 10 years. And after serving for 10 years, I basically was looking at what was next for me and looking at where fundamental change can really happen. And so when David Craig asked me to join the ticket, it was a very clear choice of yes. I think David is an excellent candidate. And again, where the fundamental change will happen is with David Craig.
As a Republican in Annapolis, you're like a unicorn. Not very many of you. People claim to have spotted you, but it's not very often. But in your 10 years in Annapolis, what are you most proud of?
Well, I think definitely my stance on the economy and on taxes. I am a small business owner, so I do have a specific
what is your business?
Perspective. I have a graphic design business that I've owned for 10 years. So I do have a perspective on that. And then, you know, there are various other policies that I've worked on, including women's issues, foster care, variety of things.
How has being a small business owner affected your thinking as far as regulation goes? Was it different before you started your own business? Or did you always know you'd have this bear in the room who was going to try and wrestle you every time you turned around?
Well, it's gotten progressively worse over the years, specifically under the O'Malley-Brown administration.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they have made it more and more difficult for business, while at the same time, they want to tell you it's getting better and better. So there's been a real clear difference in this administration.
Speaking of this administration, let's get into it. One of the things that this governor loves to do is raise taxes. He'll go around and tell you that we've cut the budget to the bone, mm-hmm. yet somehow we're spending billions more than we did before. It's weird math. It's new math. What would you guys do? How are you going to run on taxes? What is your idea with taxes? O'Malley loves taxes so much that he's going to raise them after he leaves office, and the gas tax is going to continually go up. Is there going to be an effort to repeal that? And how do you work with Democrats in Annapolis? Because Republicans aren't going to win the state house. How are you going to work with them to repeal something that they've so desperately wanted for so long?
Well, I'm not so sure that they have desperately wanted these taxes. A number of Democrats in Annapolis did not want to take these votes, but they felt pressured by the administration. But to get to your first question, David and I have talked about this extensively, and he has said time and time again, there is not a tax in this state that he would not revisit, reduce, or repeal. So we're going to be looking at everything. Everything's going to be on the table.
Now, Grover Norquist at Americans for Tax Reform runs the Taxpayer Protection Pledge. Have you guys signed that pledge? And if not, do you plan on signing that pledge that you won't raise taxes?
I cannot speak for David on that. I'm not sure if he has signed that pledge.
Right. There's plenty of time. Plenty of time.
I
used to work for Grover,
but
so
believe
something
me,
that always
take,
occurs to me to
you
ask.
You can take my word for it. This is definitely something that we're going to focus on.
As far as the taxes go, what would be the top priority for your administration if you did? You know, to try and change. What's the most damaging tax that the O'Malley administration has instituted?
Well, I think you have to start with some of the regressive taxes, the sales tax, the gas tax, and then you have to look at the things that affect everyday people and also affect job creation in our state. So the income tax is a clear one. The estate tax also causes people to leave our state all of the time. It also affects agriculture and their decisions about family farms. So again, you know, all of them are going to be on the table and all of them are equally as important.
We have seen a bit of an exodus of Marylanders, especially high-income Marylanders who have, they're sick of it. They're sick of sending as much money as they do to Washington and then another huge chunk of it to Annapolis. How do you guys plan on dealing with that issue without incurring the normal charge of you're just for the rich, you're just for the wealthy?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we do have to make Maryland great again. And it's not just the wealthy that are leaving. We have a huge brain drain, even when it comes to our veterans. Look at the way that we treat our military with their pensions. Their retirement income is taxed. So they leave other states, and not only do they take their money and their tax revenue with them, they're taking their brain power with them. These are positions that we need and things that we need to fill.
So, I don't want to go there just yet. I'm trying to do this in sort of a linear fashion. So let's get back to the biographical information. Born and raised Maryland, eventually, always from a young age. But do you remember the first moment in politics that you thought as a kid, I'm going to volunteer for this campaign, or this is really interesting, or this is something that affects my parents or whatever?
Absolutely. And I actually just had a speaking engagement on this in Annapolis. It was my senior year of high school. I went to St. Michael's High School in Talbot County. And I signed up for the Legislative Page program in Annapolis. So I served on the House floor for 2 weeks. First of all, you get out of school for 2 weeks, right?
There you go.
So you can't beat that when you're a senior. Serving on the House floor and working directly with the delegates and watching them debate the issues and watching the legislative process in person, it was just such a unique experience, and it had such an influence on me. And I should also say that the delegate that served prior to myself, he was elected at 21. So he still holds the record for being the youngest delegate in the Maryland House of Delegates. So, you know, he was sort of a mentor of mine, and I was able to watch him. And I just realized that it's really important for young people to be involved. And I knew that I wanted to serve at the state level someday. I just didn't realize it would happen as quickly as it did.
Now, I ask this of every elected official I get a chance to talk to. What was the difference between your perception of what it was going to be like and the reality of what it's like?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. I mean, you definitely have to keep yourself in your place and realize that 5 million Marylanders and there are only 141 delegates, it's a special place to be. And we take an oath when we're sworn into office to uphold the state law and uphold the Constitution. And you have to remember that. And there's a great political strategist that I had known for a long time. He's now passed away. But the advice he gave me was to always remember that there's a difference between being a politician and being a representative. So I never take it for granted.
That's a good point. And sadly, far too many people can't distinguish between the two. Did you find it difficult that when you first got there to sort of, I mean, I imagine it's much more difficult to be a politician than it is to be a legislator, to be a representative. Which way, am I wrong? Am I right there?
No, I think it's definitely a mix. And a great thing about Maryland is having a citizen legislature. For those of us that have jobs outside of being in the legislature, mm-hmm. I think it comes more naturally to us to be a representative and to remember the people that sent us there. Versus some of the other members of the Maryland General Assembly who have not known the private sector or have not known anything except for government service. So I think we bring a unique perspective, and I think it's our civic duty to make sure that those perspectives are represented.
All right. The guest is Jeanne Hadaway, Republican candidate for lieutenant governor with David Craig.
Arms.
Welcome back. Our guest, Jeanne Hadaway, delegate, candidate for lieutenant governor, running with David Craig on the Republican ticket. Your calls are welcome, 410-467-WBAL, toll-free long-distance 1-800-767-WBAL. And as such, we have a caller with a question for you, Glenn in Port Deposit. Glenn, hello.
How you doing? I see so much inequality in the state spending money in places like Baltimore, which has lost a third of a million people in 40 years, and areas that are growing like Harford County, for example, and such. The state spends things way out of proportion, and like they'll spend billions on like a rail system in Baltimore, where something like Atlantic City has like jitneys and things like that, small little buses, instead of a bus that would hold 60 people with maybe five people sitting on the bus is so inefficient. That would be fine between cities, but
Can I get to the question, Glenn?
Yeah, well, in other words, would they be doing anything to help the 24 or 23 counties that are not being helped as much as Baltimore City is?
Appreciate the call, Glenn. Your answer?
Absolutely. And Glenn, I'm so glad that you asked this question, and you are absolutely right. If you look at specifically transportation spending over the years, there used to be a more even division between what was spent on roads and system preservation versus mass transit. Over the years, the spending on mass transit has creeped up, and despite all the spending, ridership has gone up 0.1%, not even an entire percent. So you have the rest of Maryland, the other 82% of Maryland that's using roads and bridges to try to get to work and get to their family, who are being ignored. So we do need a more even distribution of the spending, but we also need smarter spending. I mean, let's not forget that this governor raided the Transportation Trust Fund, and now we have to raise the gas tax to pay it back. So essentially, the taxpayers are paying twice, and they're not getting anything for it. And that's definitely something we want to address.
And speaking of the gas tax, what do you guys plan to do about that? Because it's up, it's going up again next year, and then it's going up again in the future, and it's going to be indexed forever to go up. Is there a plan to repeal? Is there a desire to repeal, to replace, to somehow find a better way to fund transportation in the state?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to be looking at reducing the gas tax and rolling back some of these increases. And, you know, the fact that it's taxed on the wholesale side and the retail side, a lot of people don't know that. Okay, it's also contingent on an internet tax passing at the federal level. That's another thing that a lot of people don't realize because it's all hidden in the legislation. And these are the things that they don't want you to know about. So,
well, the government is finding new and creative ways to get into our wallets and ever, ever deeper. And speaking of, well, part of the western part of the state is unhappy. And there are a lot of parts of the states that aren't Annapolis, that aren't the Baltimore County area, that feel neglected. How are you guys going to pay better attention? Not bad attention, because it seems like whenever O'Malley turns his gaze towards someone, he's looking at their bank accounts. What are you guys going to do to sort of quell the people out in the West and make the rest of the state feel as part of the state as much as, and the attention-wise, that the two major population areas get?
Well, you know, I am from rural Maryland. I was born and raised rural Maryland. So we definitely want them to have a voice. And we want to adopt policies that benefit both urban and rural residents of the state. And I think it's possible. It's absolutely possible. So we want to make sure that they have a voice and that everyone is represented in this.
And is there a plan at all to do that, or as many discussions? I mean, how well did you know your running mate before you were chosen?
Well, I knew David fairly well, and honestly, his record speaks for himself. I think that's one of the most impressive things about David, is that he is an everyday average guy that happens to have the qualifications to be governor. He has experience at every level of government. He was a teacher before that, so he has education experience, but he also has executive experience. So he's definitely qualified for the job.
And as far as the economy goes, we're going to get into this more later on, but we're hemorrhaging jobs. And Obamacare is not helping that on a national level.
Right.
There's not much you can do about Obamacare because that's a federal issue, but you're going to have to find a way to keep the businesses that are going to be harmed by it in this state in business.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys plan to do to make it easier for businesses to continue to exist in this state?
Well, first of all, Maryland did not have to rush into Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
We are one of the states that chose to rush into this. And unfortunately, our businesses and our citizens are going to suffer from the rush because it's not going to be done properly. And we're already seeing the fallout from it. Look at Aetna, who's decided not to participate in the health exchange. It's not worth their while. And, you know, insurance companies are already frustrated with the environment in Maryland. So how are we going to make sure that our citizens have access to quality, affordable health care when we're just adding all these layers of bureaucracy and extra mess in the healthcare arena?
It makes the cost, as you as a small business owner, do you have less than 50 employees?
I'm actually a sole proprietorship.
Okay, so you're not directly impacted as a business on this. As an individual, you will be.
I'm not, but this is a good point that you raise, because I feel that there are many businesses in Maryland that are collateralized and capitalized and would hire, except for they have no confidence in the market, and they're tired of the Maryland General Assembly and this administration constantly changing the rules in the middle of the game. And so they're not going to hire because of that uncertainty.
Don't you realize that Annapolis knows better than anybody how to run your business, no matter what it is or where it is?
That's the attitude.
I think every bureaucrat is given a plaque with that written on it as soon as they get hired. All right, we're going to continue our discussion after this.